Welcome to the FloridaProgressive.com podcast, episode 12 for August 1st, 2014. I'm Mike Kitson. This is my first in-person interview. Usually I'm speaking with Florida's activists from across the state over Skype, but this time I'm out to lunch with Joe Snodgrass from Crescent City in Putnam County, and he has been a union member for 44 years from the UAW to the IUE to the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, which he has 38 years of service in and is currently retired from. This allows him to commit to doing the progressive activism he enjoys and also campaign for progressive candidates. Right now, he is volunteering his time on the gubernatorial campaign for Nan Rich, and we'll talk about the other campaigns, local, state, and federal, that he is working on. And we'll also talk about the labor movement overall. So at this point, we've already exchanged pleasantries and are just getting started.
You and I first met through local Awake the State rallies in Putnam County. Your friends and followers on Facebook might have seen that you are the guy with the RV, the recreational vehicle, the words Nan Rich for Governor 2014 on the side of your RV, right?
Correct, yes.
And you have been traveling the state, including a lot of areas maybe that Democrats don't often think about going to.
Absolutely. We've done a tour from Jacksonville to the Panhandle to the Florida Keys, Fort Myers, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Volusia County. I've traveled so far in the course since of purchasing this particular RV, 4,896 miles as of yesterday. I did an interlocking political forum last night by the Historical Society for local candidates here in Putnam County. Mm-hmm. But we've all over this, like I say, all over the state. The Panhandle one was one of the better ones. It was five counties, four cities, six events in 3 days.
Great. Yeah.
And pretty busy.
I want to talk to you more about those other candidates a little bit later. When you are traveling the state, and just for the record, this is not, you are not campaign staffer for Nan Rich, you are a supporter.
Correct. Volunteer, yeah, just a normal guy like everybody else on the street.
When you drive around and you talk to supporters or just average, you know, citizens of Florida, what kind of reactions are you getting?
I get most of the time very positive. I don't particularly like to engage negative people, but the standard question, and it's really not a question, it's a reaction, they go, who's Nan Rich? And I've had to develop a reply in, I'm glad you ask. You know, Nan is a 12-year legislator from the state of Florida. Many say they don't know her, but I find that to be a falsehood because anybody in this day and age with a computer can find out who someone is.
I know, you know, when you compare with a lot of other Democratic candidates, she has had, you know, relatively some trouble fundraising, and we could go into the reasons why. There are plenty of reasons, and I do not necessarily blame Nan Rich. I blame the media structure, I blame the political structure, but that's a whole other topic. You and I both met Nan Rich at a fundraiser in Gainesville last year. Was that your first experience with her campaign?
No, actually, that was my fourth event. I actually saw her here in Putnam County in June, on June 13th of 2013. And Nan was actually my state senator when I lived in Broward County. I used to use Broward County for my home base when I was working. So I actually saw her speak when she was not in session in Broward County years ago, back in, if I recall, it was around 2001 or 2003, give or take.
Great. So you are all aboard the Nan Van. is that what you call it or what other people started
calling it? Well, that was the moniker hung onto it by actually Joe Cripps down in Broward County. But, yeah, it's good for me. It's what it is. You know, everybody, most people when I stop, they expect Nan to come emerging out of the van. She has been in a coach. I do have pictures of her there. But, no, she doesn't travel with me. This is all on, this is all about me and my thing.
Wow, I really like that whole thing that you got going. It has a grassroots feel to it. I'm a big fan of it. Moving on from what the work that you've personally been doing to the race itself, Nan Rich versus Charlie Crist in the primary, August 26th, those are the two choices to be the Democratic candidate for governor against Rick Scott in November. Do you have any comments you want to say about that race?
Yes, very much so.
Go for it.
The media, you know, the media and even the FDP have picked their candidate.
That's the Florida Democratic Party.
They have almost coronated Charlie. The primary is just a thing that they wish would go away. It's not going to go away. It's a democratic process. The polls don't matter. There was a poll the other day, a Quinnipiac poll, but the polls don't matter. The only poll that matters is the poll you go and cast your vote at on August 26th or in early voting. That's the one that's going to count. This is all about, with Florida's record for poor turnouts in primary elections and in midterm years. This is all about getting out the vote. And that's why the grassroots campaign, which runs on, yes, can run on a lot less money, is much more successful than what Charlie Crist or Rick Scott can muster.
Nan Rich has a consistent record on many, many issues, environment, women's rights, education. She's huge on that. Children with disabilities. She has been consistent, whereas her competition has not been. I mean, he has had three different party affiliations and many different stances on those issues. You know what I mean?
Yes. The biggest thing to me about Charlie Crist is when I look at people, when I want to go and research a candidate that I'm voting for, he's running on a Democratic ticket, but he doesn't have a Democratic record. So how can he actually just say, I'm supposed to take him at his word because now, since December 2012, he is a registered Democrat? I'm supposed to take him at his word now that he is the opposite. He's all for gay rights. He's all for organized labor. He is for women's rights. Education, he has been a strong promoter of the vouchers and still, as of back in April, said that what does he think about vouchers? He says, well, it's not good at this time. That's not the answer I want to hear as a progressive Democrat. I want to hear it is never a good time for vouchers.
Right. Okay, let's move on to other campaigns that either in the past or currently that you have worked on before. I think one of our very first conversations was when you were speaking about Heather Beaven versus Ron DeSantis for the 6th Congressional District. You said you put in a lot of hours for Heather Beaven. Unfortunately, she lost. I know Ron DeSantis representing this area. Congressional candidate, are you? Do you have any congressional work for this election cycle?
I'm actually doing multi-congressional candidates. I am promoting my candidate, David Cox, sent for FL6 for St. John's, Flagler, Volusia, and Putnam, part of Putnam County. David is running unopposed right now. He's not in the primary, but for the general election against DeSantis. Yes, I backed Heather both in 2010 and 2008, much more progressively in 2010. But I'm promoting through the course, being that I'm touring the state practically, I'm promoting Jim Bryan in FL1, Gwen Graham in FL2, Mary Helen Wheeler in FL3, Mike McKenna in 10, and so on. The list goes on.
I remember Wheeler, she is running against, you know, assuming Ted Yoho beats the primary, that, I mean, he's the guy that wanted to default on our national debt. So these are like really serious Congress members that we're trying to get out of Congress and get the good ones in, you know?
Absolutely. Mike McKenna will be, if he wins his primary, Mike McKenna is going to be running against Taliban Dan, as Mr. Grayson hung on him, Dan Webster out of FL10. Jim Bryan is running against Jeff, I believe it's Jeff Scott up in FL1. He's the one that talks big about all the veterans up there, but seems to, and is head of the Veterans Committee, but seems to fail and drop the ball on many of the issues for the veterans, but they continue to elect him up there because it's a strong Democratic congressional district.
What about local candidates in Putnam County and Palatka? Are there any that you said that you were at an event in Interlochen recently. Anybody off the top of your head that you can unabashedly support right now?
Well, right now the school board is big this year because we had a retirement from Mr. Overturf in District 5. And just for the record, the school board districts and the county commissioner districts match number for number and size for size. So Mr. Overturf retired, and there is a race of four people there, and yes, I have a strong candidate there in Shirley Diaz-Basil. She works in the school system now and very, very well qualified, and she's not looking at it from a position of a second job. This is going to be her primary job, and this is what she's going to devote all her time to. And that's big to me when you look at Putnam County, the majority of the office holders in Putnam County have 1, 2, 3 jobs. So to me, it's a big thing. The rest of the races are pretty well, they're a flip. You can go either way. They all look about the same, but that. And county commissioner, unfortunately, the Democrats couldn't muster a candidate in county commission District 4.
Okay. Okay, another fun thing on your Facebook feed is the This Day in Labor History fact sheets. A lot of Americans, I mean, this is my personal opinion here, have forgotten or have never learned the importance of unions throughout our history. Can you speak to that? Also, how you first got involved in the labor movement. I mean, I guess it was through your line of work, right?
Yes, the one of the few things my father and I were not real close. One of the few things my father shared with me was, as a young man, very young man, actually, as I got out of high school, I wasn't going to go to college. I did not attend college, university at first. He shared that if you want to make something of yourself, get a skilled trade and join a labor union. He said you'll be taken care of the rest of your life, doubly taken care of if you work hard and put in as much as what you take out. And that's what I did. I took one of the few things I took his recommendation on. And it was. But yes, history. We have a big, all labor unions right now pretty well have an organizational campaign. And they organize people, they increase their membership, they increase their union dues, but they fail to teach what our ancestors fought for in the history of organized labor, how they fought for the rights to be represented by a labor union, what accomplishments they got. Also, another thing about history, to pass it on at this time, and is to, for people that are not union members and never have been union members, they must realize that without the labor unions and what they fought for, they have rode on our shirt tails all this time. And they don't want to admit it, but it's the honest truth. When my wages go up as a union electrician, the non-union wages go up too, because they don't want to lose that electrician to the union through an organizing program.
Yes, and in terms of benefits, let's say it's a private sector, non-unionized job. I've heard people complain with those types of jobs, say, well, why should they get all these benefits and great pay when we don't? And that's a weird logic to me, because they're trying to drag everybody down to their level instead of fight for their own rights, you know?
Exactly. Why criticize me because I make a fair living wage and you don't? So don't come up with an original idea of how to fight for your own benefits. Better yet, drag me down. Make me the villain. Turn the tables on me and make me look like I am the one. Organized labor is the one that is destroying the economy and creating havoc for everybody else.
Right. You know, a proud history, like you said, of the labor movement. And, you know, those people that are villainizing unions, I would recommend take your anger and redirect it towards the people that write the laws and try to get an expanded, organized workforce for the whole country. It would be wonderful. We could stop outsourcing so much. We could have more made in the USA products. What are your thoughts on that? Because it seems like the whole American economy is lost without unions, you know?
Absolutely. We have not had any legislation on the federal level that has increased the benefits of the working class people since 1950. And people must realize they want all these things, but if you have a fair living wage job, there is nothing that you cannot purchase for yourself and do to take care of yourself and better your family and your future of your family. But the thing that people have to understand is that things are not welfare programs. The biggest problem we have had since the Obama administration come in is the outsourcing of jobs. If we had legislation that was written to encourage people to keep jobs in, we would have things. If we had the manufacturing base today that they had in Bill Clinton's era, we would not be having the financial difficulties and the economic crisis that we are having today. None whatsoever.
But Bill Clinton did sign NAFTA, though. I mean, I would say he's...
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And there's that's a whole other story. We can get into Walmarts. We can get into many, many things there that, no, is not good. Yes, Bill is not necessarily... He is not my favorite president, but besides himself and all the things that he did, he still came out with some excellent statistics because the economy turned around and was in a boom era. But that boom came from manufacturing jobs, fair living wage jobs, not people working two jobs, not people working underpaying jobs.
Okay, my last question is, as an activist in this area for a while, what would you recommend for Putnam County and the surrounding counties? What do they need to do in order to let their voice be heard in Washington?
The biggest number one thing with me is youth. We need the young people in the county, every city, every place in the nation. The young people need to stand up and put the cell phones down, stop texting, and start getting involved face-to-face with people and learning how to communicate with people on a one-to-one thing. That's the reason why I picked a door-to-door process in my precinct, to knock on doors and to greet people and meet people and let them know that there was somebody in the community that knew what they were doing and how important they were. That's what I say. I think the young people need to step up. I'm old. I'm an old man. I'm 64 years old. Oh, it's not that old. Well, trust me, when you look behind you and you see no youth stepping up, it's really scary because just what's going to happen when the old people are gone? We're going to have nothing, absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well, Joe, thanks so much for joining me today. Thank you for all you do on behalf of your fellow Floridians.
You're very welcome, Mike, and it's my pleasure, and I consider it to be a privilege to have the opportunity to speak out and try to show people that there are two sides to every issue, there are two parts to every story, and that people need to realize that it's the world and the things that go on is more about just their opinion and just about them. It's about everybody, and it's about equality for all and fairness for all. There isn't anybody in the country that shouldn't have the opportunity to be able to make a fair living wage and make as much money as they can possibly make.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
This episode goes out to all the NAND fans who have enjoyed a good portion of ridicule and resentment, all for daring to participate in what Joe very simply and accurately describes as the democratic process. Thank you all for demanding debates, for respecting the primary process, and for standing up for your progressive values. I hope we can continue to have that attitude with other races throughout Florida. Joe Snodgrass can be found on Facebook. More on the candidates and labor unions he mentioned in the interview are linked to throughout the transcript of this podcast at floridaprogressives.com. You can find me on Facebook at the floridaprogressives.com podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Idson, spelled E-I-D-S-O-N. This is the third podcast out of 5 in 5 days. If you want to promote the podcast on social media, you can use the hashtag 5interviews5days. This music is by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Thanks for listening.